Now that's how you do church, praise God. If you're looking for a dry, boring church, you're in the wrong house.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're looking for a dry, boring message tonight, you're in the wrong house. So you better get your amens ready, because we're going to talk about the resurrection tonight. Hallelujah.
All right.
I don't think we spend enough time in church talking about that, and I'm going to resurrect this coat over here because it ain't going to work for me tonight. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house tonight, Lord. Father, I ask you to anoint this message. No, I ask you to preach this message, Father. Get me out of the way so that your people can have from you what you would have them receive. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you to touch each and every heart, Lord. Open each and every ear to receive and every heart to respond. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, I will tell you, our Jesus was crucified. He was hung on a tree. They had beaten him. They had tormented him. They had mocked him. They had tortured him. They tell me there was very little left to even identify him as a human being by the time they were done with him. He had carried every sin that you and I would ever commit, every sin that had ever been committed, every sin that ever will be committed. He carried on his person every sickness, every disease, everything that afflicts us, he carried. And I want you to imagine just for a moment the weight that that had to have been on his body. Because I'm telling you, I believe that he physically carried every single disease. Every strain of flu afflicted him as he hung on that cross. Every digestive illness, every form of cancer, every single sickness that could possibly be imagined, he physically carried in his person on that cross. Every sin we've ever committed, every sin ever imagined, when the Father looked at him on that cross, that's what he saw. Amen. And that's why God turned his back on Jesus on that cross, because he couldn't look on the sin that Jesus was carrying for you and me. Amen. He couldn't look at it. He couldn't stand to see it, because God hates sin. And even though that was his son hanging there, he couldn't see him past the sin. And praise God, because he hung on that cross and died for you and me, he can't see the sin past the blood of Jesus on us. Amen? Amen. And you know why? Because he lives. Because Jesus didn't stay on that cross. You know, my Catholic friends, I work in Catholic hospital. In every room, there's a crucifix. And in every room, they've got him hanging on that cross. And I told him in my office, we got to get a different something up there, because my Jesus ain't on the cross. And my Jesus ain't in the grave, because he got up and he walked out of that grave 100% victorious over death, over hell, over everything that could possibly touch us. He didn't just get resurrected. He rose with resurrection power. I want you to take a look with me in Matthew 28, starting at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. I always find it interesting. It was Mary and the other Mary. She was just the other Mary. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now keep in mind, they were so afraid of what Jesus was going to do that they had that door sealed. And they posted guards to make sure nobody came and messed with it. And that angel just walked along, flipped that stone out of the way, and went and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. They were so scared, they froze in their place, because they'd never seen anything like it. I like to think somewhere in the back of their mind, they were thinking, uh-oh, maybe he really is who he says he was. Maybe we're getting ready to see all kinds of things happen. That'd be terrifying if you'd just participated in killing this man, and now here comes an angel that's going to move that stone like it's nothing, and he's shining like the sun, and they're afraid. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified." Oh, but look at verse 6. "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. They departed with fear and great joy. Amen. We should have great joy when we talk about the resurrection, because we don't serve some dead guy. We don't serve some imaginary spirit in the sky somewhere. We serve the living, risen Savior. We serve God Almighty, who is alive and well and sitting on the throne. He's there. He's listening. As Dennis told us this morning, he knows us by name. He knows who we are. He knows what we need. And he cares. And more than that, he's alive with resurrection power. He didn't just get out of the grave. He got out of the grave and defeated the grave. Oh my goodness. Take a look with me if you will. Honey, I'm moving around a little bit. I'm sorry. John chapter 11, verse 43. We see where Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Now take a look at when Jesus was resurrected. John chapter 20 and verse 5 says, "And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes laying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie." We've been told twice now that the grave clothes were laying in the grave, the empty grave. "And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." You see, when Lazarus got out of the grave, the grave still had a hold of him. He was still wrapped in grave clothes. That symbolized the fact that the grave hadn't been defeated. It had only been delayed. He still came out, and he was going back in. Lazarus eventually died. When Jesus came out of that grave, he left the grave clothes in the grave because he didn't need them no more. They were never going to be used again, because Jesus will never die. 2,000 years later, he's still sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's still advocating for us. He's still doing what God sent him to do, because his first job was to die for our sins, and his second job was to get up out of that grave with resurrection power, that we might live, that we might have authority, that we might be able to walk in his word, that we might be able to be saved, healed, redeemed, and set free. Had he stayed in that grave, none of that would have worked. Had he stayed in that grave, we wouldn't have what we have. We couldn't have Jesus, Brother Leonard, because we can't serve a dead man. But we serve the living, risen Savior. Yes, it is. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Jesus addressed it himself in Revelations 1 and 17 says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." You know, I read in a book a while back, a respected book, it was actually one of the textbooks in the classes I was taking on systematic theology, and they announced that it was hogwash that Jesus had the keys to death, hell, and the grave, that wasn't biblical. I stopped reading that book. I don't want to hear from that guy, because he obviously doesn't get it, because my Jesus has the keys. And if he didn't go and get them, I don't know where he got them from. But he has them, and it says so right there. He says, "And have the keys of hell and death." Do you know when you have the key to something, you control it? If you've got the key to that back door of that church there, you control who comes in and who goes out. You can lock it, you can unlock it. You have control. If you have the keys to your house, you have control of that house. You decide who comes and goes. You decide how that lock gets worked. Jesus has the keys to hell and death, and he's decided that they don't get to touch us anymore, that we're not going to die. Now, understand me. I realize this physical body will eventually go. If the Lord doesn't come first, this body's going to lay in a grave, but it's temporary. It's only going to be there for a while. Like the song says, there ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Because you see, my Jesus is coming back. And he's going to split the eastern sky. And the trumpet's going to sound. And when it does, whether I'm alive or I'm in that grave, I'm going with him. And just like my Jesus, I'm getting a new body. Because do you know the Bible says that they didn't recognize Jesus at first. They had trouble recognizing him. Because that body didn't have any sin on it anymore. That body didn't have any sickness on it anymore. That body was resurrected, new, glorified. That's why they couldn't recognize him, because it didn't have the lines from all the stress and the pain he'd been through in his life. All it had was the beauty of what God had created. But as they looked at him, they realized, that's Jesus. Can you imagine the joy when they realized, that's my Jesus. What he said was true. He really did come back. After all, he's not in that grave anymore. And today there's still an empty grave that says my Jesus is alive. He's never been in the grave again, and he never will be in the grave again. Hallelujah. Do you know, because he lives, we shall live. That's one of the most important things he gave us when he got up out of that grave, is we have the ability to live just like he does. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, he went first. He was the one that set the stage. He's our example. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. That means we're not staying in that grave. That means we're not going to, we're all of our loved ones who've gone before, coming up out of that grave. They're going to come join us. We're all going to go up and see Jesus together. Veronica, your daddy's getting out of that grave. And when he gets out of that grave, he's going to have a beautiful new body. He's going to be young and healthy, and you're going to dance with him down streets of gold. Because the Bible says so. And it's either all true or it's all hogwash. Yeah. One of the two. You either believe the whole thing or don't believe any of it at all and go ahead and go on home. Amen. You know, Paul even addressed that. Paul spoke to that. He said, oh, goodness. Of course, I can't find it now because I'm all off my notes. Give me just a moment here. I'll find it. Yeah. I don't know where it's at. I'll get to it eventually. This is what happens when I get off my notes, Dennis. It doesn't work. Paul addressed that, though, because he said, if he's not risen, then none of this is true, and you're still in your sin. If he hasn't risen from the grave, then forget about everything else. We're wasting our time. So if you believe that Christ is risen from the grave, how many believe he's risen? Is there anybody in here who doesn't believe it? I believe it. So if you believe that, then you have to believe everything else in this book. Everything, every word, every letter, every period, every comma. It is all 100% true. You see, Jesus is our example. He's the one who's going to show us the way when it's time to go to heaven. He's going to stand up there in that glorified body. And when that trumpet sounds, he's going to say, come on, my children. Come on with me. We're going home. We're going home to see the Father. We're going to go home. See, he said that he's going to prepare a place for us. And if it were not so, he would have told us. And that if he goes to prepare a place, what's he going to do? He's going to come again and receive us unto himself. That is a promise. That is one you can take to the bank, brothers and sisters. You can take that to the bank and know that he meant what he said. Because he lives. Because he got up out of that grave. You see, the devil thought he had won. I can imagine there was a party in hell that night. They were all excited. They thought, we got him. We took him out. He's in the grave. He's not getting up. Because death was permanent before Jesus. That was the most permanent, most powerful thing human beings understood was death. Because when you died, you didn't get back up. If you died, it was over, finished, done. But then Jesus got up out of the grave. And all of a sudden, death doesn't have any power anymore. The Bible says, death, where is your sting? Because Jesus took it away. You see, death is only temporary for us now. And because Jesus lives, we can also be reborn. We get to be born again. Take a look in 1 Peter 1 and 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So because he was able to be born again and come back out of that grave, we're able to be born again. We have the ability to be born new creatures in Christ. We don't have to be the old man. We don't have to live the old way. We don't have to be subject to the God of this world because we're subject to the God of heaven. Amen? Because he lives, we're justified before God. You realize that that's only because he got up out of the grave. None of this worked. Yes, the cross is important, and I love that cross. But I love an empty cross where my Jesus got off of it. And I love an empty grave where he got out of it. Because in Romans chapter 4 and 23, it says, now it not being written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. He's talking about Abraham and how his faith was imputed to him for righteousness. but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, it was his resurrection that gives us justification before God. When God resurrected Jesus from the grave, he was saying, "Well done, son. Your sacrifice was enough. Your blood is enough. What you did on the cross is enough. You don't need to be dead anymore because you paid the debt." He stamped it paid. He said, "It's done. All of sin has been paid for. All of God's wrath has been turned back. Everything that was held against mankind has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus." That's what God was saying when he said, "Get up out of that grave, son. It's over. You've done your job. Now come be exalted and sit at my right hand where you belong." Because you see, Jesus had to step down from heaven in order to come and be a man like us. Can you imagine that? God going to him and saying, "Son, I need you to do something for me, and it's not going to be a whole lot of fun. But if you're willing, if you love these people enough, I want you to go and die in their place. But I promise when it's over, you get to come back. You get to come back and sit at my right hand where you belong. If you're willing to humble yourself and be obedient even unto death, then I will restore it, just like you're going to restore them to justification before me." And Jesus said, "I'll go. I'll go because nobody else can do it. I'll go because there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. I'll go because that's my job, Daddy. I'll go." And he went and he died, but he got up out of that grave. And because he lives, we have the same authority that he has. Are you hearing me? I don't think you heard me. I said we have the same authority that Jesus has. Oh, if you understand that, you ought to be shouting better than that. Because when we speak, the devil hears the word of God. When we speak in the name of Jesus, he trembles, not because what we say, but because we have God behind us. Because we have the power of the name of Jesus. And at that name, devils have to flee. The devil has to tremble. Sickness has to go. Depression has to be broken. Chains come off in the name of Jesus. And we have that power through him. We have the power of God residing in us because Jesus lives. Take a look with me and I'll show it to you. It's in Ephesians. I wanted to have nice typed out notes. God wouldn't let me. Every time I tried to type them, he told me, "No, write it down and use your Bible." But Lord, it's easier. He said, "Write it down and use your Bible." "Yes, sir, I'll write it down and use my Bible." In Ephesians chapter 1 and 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead." You see that? That power came when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, not just a little above, not just slightly above, but far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. That means he's above cancer. That means he's above lack and depression and sickness and disease and hatred and unforgiveness. He's above every name you can think of, because it says he's above every name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then Paul goes on. He says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." He didn't say you were dying. He said, "You were dead in your trespasses." Dead. We were dead to God in our trespasses because of our sin. Just like Jesus was dead to him on that cross, we were living in spiritual death until Jesus came and restored us to the Father. Until we accepted him into our life and made him the Lord of our life, we were dead in Christ. But you see, the next verse says, "But God." Oh, I like it when it says, "But God." Dennis, that tells me something good's getting ready to happen. It never says, "But God did nothing." And it never says, but God couldn't handle it. What it says is, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Quickened us together means made us alive with him. Brought us back to life. We're no longer spiritually dead. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So if Christ Jesus is sitting at his right hand, and he's made us to sit together with Christ in heavenly places, where are we sitting? We're sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that means that we have the same authority that he gave to Jesus, because he's elevated Jesus above all of these things. So in the name of Jesus, we have the same authority that our Jesus has. Brother Leonard, that means when we talk to sickness, sickness has to listen. That means when we talk to disease, it has to listen. That means when we speak, the devil better pay attention, because my Jesus is back in my play. You know, if we were serving some dead God, nobody would care. Because I could come to you and say, you know what? My grandma said such and so. And people are going to say, well, where's she at? She can't back it up. Seriously. If I were to look at you and say, well, my great-grandmother was a preacher and she said blah, blah, blah. You're going to go, okay, and? But when I tell you Jesus said, you pay attention, because Jesus is still alive and Jesus can back what he said. And Jesus's power is real because he got up out of that grave. Do you know the scariest thing in the world for the devil was the moment that Jesus got up out of that grave? Because that meant all of this was getting ready to come to pass. That meant that he had lost. He didn't just get slightly defeated. He was thoroughly routed at the moment when Jesus walked up out of that grave. You know, I would have loved to have seen the devil's face. But more than that, I would have loved to have seen the glow of the power of resurrection power that was on Jesus when he walked out of that grave. Because do you know, he didn't look tired. He didn't stumble out of that grave. He strutted out of that grave. He said, devil, I have finished this. When he said it is finished at the cross, he was referring to what he was fixing to do when he got out of that grave, just as much as he was what happened at the cross. Because it's over. He's finished it. He has been placed in power above all things. Everything that's got a name, Jesus is in power above. And he's given that power to us through his resurrection. And because he lives, we have an advocate with the Father. Romans 8 and 34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. There it is again. It's because he's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We have somebody speaking on our behalf 24/7 in the throne room of heaven. Do you understand what that means? Think about it. If you have an attorney in court that's speaking for you, you don't have to go to court, because he's there taking care of it for you. And he's protecting your interests. He's arguing your case to the judge. Jesus is making intercession for us, advocating for us. He's arguing our case to God. When God sees something, Jesus says, no, 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 that's under my blood. I died for that. You don't have to worry about that, God. It's already taken care of. God, have you seen your servant down here that's hurting? We need to do something for him. He's advocating and interceding for us constantly in the throne room. And because he's resurrected in a new glorified body, he doesn't get tired. He doesn't have to take a break. He's always on the job. You know, when we sing Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. He's always on. That line's never busy. Because he's above all of that. He's glorified. He's perfect. And we're going to get to be just like him someday. When we come to heaven, we're going to come in a new glorified heavenly body. A body that doesn't get sick. A body that has no aches and pains. A body that's never tired. We're going to praise God through eternity. All because of what Jesus did at the cross and what he did when he came up out of that grave. The song that we sing so often says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. You know, that is absolutely true. I wouldn't want to face this world without my Jesus. I wouldn't want to face this world in some of these other religions where they're worshiping some dead guy. Because that can't possibly give you any satisfaction, because dead man can't help you. But my living Jesus can help me. He can take care of me. He's got more power in his little finger than any other religion has in all of their religion. We say, because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, we don't have to be afraid. Because we know who's in control. We know who's running this show. He proved it at Calvary, and he proved it when he got up out of the grave. If you have any doubt if Jesus can handle it, if he can open the grave, and he can get up out of that grave and walk out without even so much as the smell of death on him or those grave clothes, he can handle our problems. If he can overcome the grave, the most powerful thing known to man at that time, he can absolutely handle whatever we've got. And because we know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives. You know, I hear people say, I don't know if I have a reason to go on. I do. His name is Jesus. People say, I don't know if I can handle this anymore. Because of him, we have a reason to live. We have a reason to push on a little further. No matter how bad life feels, no matter how much we struggle, we have a reason to live. And his name is Jesus. Because he died so we could live and have life more abundantly. He didn't die for us to have a miserable life. He died for us to have an abundant, wonderful life. And we can have that because of him, because he was willing to come down and take our place and carry all of our sins and all of our sickness, our everything, and then rose up out of the grave victorious over all of it. Amen. Stand to your feet and just give God glory right now.